Also, a special thanks to Brother Robert and Sister Faye. They are taking care of me very well. I'm gaining some weight because they are feeding a lot, you know, they are feeding very much, very good. Okay. So, tonight I want to share from the Bible the relationships in the church, and it is very important. God has given so many instructions, commandments, how to live a good and a life which is well-pleasing to the Lord. It is very important that we have to look all these commandments and check ourselves whether we are living according to these commandments or not, because this is very important. Before I share about these instructions from the Bible, I want to tell about a little bit about commandments and also a little bit of sacrifices. Let's see one scripture from Babel. Brother Robert, to read these scriptures from the 1 Samuel 15th chapter, starting from 1 to 3 verses.
Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go, destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass.
Yes. We see in these scriptures Saul, Samuel, and God. God appointed Saul as a king to Israel. He was very humble, good, and also he knew how to respect the prophets. We see in the early chapters how he was so humble, and he was handsome looking and very good. His life, he started in a good way, but after some time later we can see there is a problem in his life. So in this chapter, in this verse, we see that God gave a commandment through Samuel to Saul, saying that go to Amalek, destroy everything, and the instructions was very clear. Everything, the instructions what given, what we have heard through the scriptures was very clear. Destroy everything. Do not spare anything. And Saul went to war, and he destroyed, but he spared the animals, the best animals, and also he spared the king and brought back. And that night God spoke to Samuel and said, I reject Saul as a king. And Samuel cried all night for Saul. And God sent a message through Samuel to Saul. And Samuel came to Saul and said, did you destroy everything? And Saul was like, I have done what God has commanded. And then Samuel heard the sounds of the animals. And he said, I hear these sounds of the animals. What is these sounds? And Saul started saying that people brought these animals to give sacrifice to thy God. He's not even saying my God, you know. He said, people brought these animals to give a sacrifice to thy God. And Samuel started saying, obedience, in 22-23 verses we can see, Samuel started saying, obedience is more than sacrifices, you know. And rebelling is equal to witchcraft. He's clearly showing, he mentioned this one. So as a Christians, we need to understand, there is two things in Christian life. There is sacrifices and the obedience. In Old Testament time, sacrifices is like a worship. In New Testament time, sacrifice is like a worship too. We come to the church, taking our time, sacrificing our time, which is important. Going to the church is very important, because when you go to church, you hear the word, and that word converts your soul, Bible says, and word also gives you faith. And you read the scriptures, when you read the Bible, when you read it, and that scriptures gives you faith. Studying is also important. Listening also important. These two things will give you faith. And when you have faith, there is no fear. And when you have faith, you will see great things in your life. And fear comes when there is no faith. But when there is faith, there is no fear. A lot of people have fear of life. How to live. Fear of their marriages. Fear of their businesses. Fear of many things in the life. Fear of health issues. But when there is faith, all these fears are gone. And that faith helps to build up. A great thing. So, going to church is important. And also, we take time to pray. Pray is also important. It's like a sacrifice. We sacrifice our time to God. We pray. And when you pray, we see Daniel is a praying person. 3 times a day he used to pray. He is so strong. When he was in lion's den, lions even did not touch him. We can see Nehemiah. And also, he is a man of prayer. And many, many other people, we can see a prayer. And Bible also says, pray without ceasing. Thessalonians, we can see that. And Jesus' life, we can see, he is a prayer. When he was in this life, he was taking time for prayer. And also in Luke 18, he is explaining to the disciples, sharing them the parables, saying that they ought to pray at all times. He shared the parable. And praying is something is important. When you give request to the Lord, Bible says, let your request be known to the Lord by prayers. And God will look into the request and help us. So praying is also an important thing. Giving is the other part. We go to the church, we give, we sacrifice ourselves. In Romans and also in Corinthians, we can see Paul spoke about giving. The way you give, the way you receive. And you sacrifice and you give. And we do all these things, which is good. It is important also. There is one more thing which is important, more important. There is one more thing we need to add for this important thing. That is obedience. Obedience is also we need to have. We can see a flight as an example. A flight have 2 wings. And if it is a 1 wing, flight will not take off. It will not going to fly. And it needs 2 wings. 1 wing is not going to fly. In the same way, you have only sacrifices aside. And there is no obedience, it's not going to fly with God. And just because we are going to church will not take us to heaven. Many of the Christians have this thing in the mind, saying, I go to church regularly, I take time to pray, I study the word of God, I also give very in a good way, and everything is well, and I will go to heaven automatically. That's what the lot of mind says. But scripture says something else, something different. Scripture is showing you need to add obedience to all the works what you are doing. So obedience is more than sacrifice. So when we see obedience, let's talk about how we have to live a godly life and what God is expecting us to be a good Christian. And I want to explain to you, I was invited to a Pentecostal church in India. I went to this Pentecostal church. I go to many churches. They invite me to preach the gospel. So I went to this church and everybody in the church was on time. I was shocked because in India, churches doesn't start on time. If it says 8:30, they start at 9:30, maybe 9 or 9:30. And there is no ending time. You know, 8:30 it starts, it may go for 12 o'clock. Maybe 1 o'clock, we don't know. So this church was something different. I went to this church and everybody was there on time. I was shocked, brother. And everybody were wearing white outfits, like ladies have a white saris And gents have a white shirt and a white pant and very neat looking nicely. And the preacher told me there, this people was fasting and praying for the nation. But there is a problem in my church. 30 days, they fasted and praying and done a great thing. He said, there is a problem in this church. They don't get along. They always fight. There are groups divided here. And that day I already prepared the lesson on obedience. So I went to the church and I started asking a question to them. I said, is fasting a tough job? I asked them. They said, yeah, fasting a tough job. In India, they fast from morning to 3 o'clock. That's how they fast. And after 3 o'clock, they eat food. And next day morning, they fast until 3 o'clock. A lot of the Pentecostal does the same thing. So I asked them, is fasting a tough job? They said, it's very tough to fast. Oh, from morning to 3 o'clock, not eating food is a tough job to do. And they're so happy that they have done 30 days of fasting. They started thinking they have done something great to the Lord. And then I asked them one more question. What about forgiving others? Is it a tough job or an easy job? And I said, let us put both of them in front of us. Let us take a part of fasting and other hand. And let's take forgiving others on the other hand. Which is tough and which is easy? Is forgiving an easy job? Then they started thinking about it. They said, forgiving others is not an easy job. That is tough. But fasting is, fasting is easy. We can fast anytime. Brothers, sisters. In the same way, obedience, we think it is easy. But it's not an easy thing. We have to work on it. And God also requires the same thing. Let's talk about forgiving. God requires, God is sharing, God is commanding us that we need to forgive one another. In the church, we may be having many situations with our brothers, with our family members, with our friends. When we go in our past life and we start checking our life, there may be many situations that we may not have forgiven people. But Bible shows us when you do not forgive, there is a problem. You're not keeping the commandments. Bible says, if you do not forgive, I will not forgive you. The scripture says, let's see that scriptures. In Matthew 6th chapter, 15th verse. Matthew. If you not forgive, neither your father will be forgive your trespasses. It's so clear that our father will not forgive us. So, Bible is showing something that we need to always, our heart should be in a way that we should always forgive anyone who does bad to us or maybe rude to us, maybe anything. Our heart should always be ready to forgive. Whether they come asking for forgiveness or not, Christians' heart should be in a way that you should always be forgiving. That is the heart God is asking. And Bible says in Ephesians, let's see a couple of things from Ephesians, 4th chapter, starting from 32 verse. 31, yeah, 31 is good, yeah.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor.
Yeah. Let's go slowly from there. Okay.
All right. Let all bitterness and wrath
and
anger
and
clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
Yes. Thank you, brother. Here we see that we can't do all these things, but I want to share one thing. Angerness, bitterness. Let's talk about it. Bible says, when angerness is something which is not the Christian should have. Because Bible shows another verse. Let us see from the James. Let us see from James chapter 1st, 20th verse. Yeah, wrath of man worketh not in the righteousness of God. Brothers, sisters, one of the things we need to, as a Christians, we need to learn is, let us not show angry on anyone. Short temper is one of the things. Because angry is something linked with the forgiveness. When you have anger in your heart, you will not have a heart of forgiving. It goes, both of them go together. But sometimes, you know, many people try hard, which is very good, that as Bible says, before the sunset, you know, you should be willing to forget what was happened. So anger is something which can destroy your life. A son and a father. A father came to a son came to a father, said, "Daddy, I'm not able to control anger on my friends. Because of that, I don't even talk to my friends. Even if they come, I don't like to see them." And father said, "Okay, I will do one thing. I will give you a wooden board." Then he gave nails and he gave a hammer. He said, "When you are angry with your friends, take these nails, take this wooden board, and take the hammer and hit on the board with the nails." So he started hitting. Within 15 days, within a week, all those nails he nailed it to the board. Sometimes he was so angry, he just strongly nailed it to it. And after 15 days later, son came and said to, excuse me, "Father, Daddy, I have done what you have told me to do, but still my anger is not going. I'm still in the same mood." And father said, "Okay, now I want you to remove all the nails which you have hit to the board." "Oh, that's a tough job," because he had pretty hard all the nails to the board. And he said, "Okay, Daddy, I will remove it." And it was tough. He removed all the things. Then what has happened? Father took the board and showed it to his son. "Did you see how much damage you have done to this board?" In the same way, your anger will destroy, you will damage yourself. In the same way, he showed to his son. We can see many people with anger, like Cain. You say Cain, we say Cain. Cain, you know, he was so angry on himself. He was angry on God. He was angry on his brother. You know, the same thing we do in the church. Many times we are angry on some people. You know, that we should put off from our minds. You know, Cain was angry on his brother. Killed his brother. You know, biggest mistake drawed to Cain. We can see Jonah. Jonah also so angry with the Nineveh, people of Nineveh. God did not use Jonah a lot. He used only once, that's all. His book is also small. Because he have a kind of a thing, angerness in his heart. Brothers, sisters, Christians, as a Christians, we should always control our anger. I was seeing Discovery Channel one time in India. They were showing this thing about angry and all the physical activities, whatever. They have put all these wires to a man, human being, and screened it like an X-ray and watching what happens when he gets angry. This man got so angry, and the visuals shows that his blood was shooting into the brain, and it was constantly shooting in a high speed. They calculated a speed, how much speed blood will circulate when he's angry, when a person is angry. And after that, finally, they said, a man is always angry, short-tempered. He is easily get a disorder of memory loss, and also many mental issues. In the future, sometimes stroke also. This is what Discovery Channel says. See, I'm not saying about the worldly way, but I'm telling about godly way. God knows everything. When we get angry, what happens? We do a lot of mistakes. God knows it. That's why God said that. So forgiving is linked with angerness. So forgiving others is one of the part. And next, second thing I want to share today, continuation there. Brother, go ahead. Yeah. Then he says, be kind to one to another.
Tender-hearted.
Look at this. Kind-hearted. Kind to one to another. This is what we have to work very hardly. It is not easy, but we have to work out because God says this. Kind to one to another. Always be kind to one to another. Tender-hearted. You know, tender-hearted, like a baby. Baby's hearts, children's hearts are so tender. Tender-hearted. Next. Forgiving one another, even God has forgiven you. So, even Ephesians clearly mentions about all these things. And next point I want to share today is hatred. Hating is one of the other things. You know, a guy in my church, in a young adult class, came to me and said, I hate my teacher. He always says something every week. He said, I hate my friend. I hate him. I hate her. Always in his mouth, he says, hate, hate, hate. Brother, sister, you know what Bible says about hatred? Bible says, you do not hate anyone. When you hate others, he's equal to a murderer. That's what the Bible says. If I say someone, he is a murderer, your mind will say, you will be thinking about that person like this. You will be thinking like this, that he might have killed someone with a gun or a sword. Immediately you think the same thing when I say someone as a murderer. But Bible shows something else different here. When you are hating someone, you are a murderer. And people start hating each other and thinking that we will go to heaven. It's not going to happen. Brothers and sisters, it is important. When hatred comes, that you need, as Christians, we should not hate anyone. Only one thing we need to hate, that is sin. Other than that, we should not hate anything. When someone doesn't talk to us well, we started hating them. When somebody is rude to us, immediately we started hating about them. Brothers, sisters, we need to work out what God is showing. Because this is very important. Let's not go according to our imaginations or what our thinking or what our heart says. Let's go according to the Bible. Hatred is a sin. And we see example, Moses, when Moses brought Israelite out of Egypt, people hated him. They were ready to stone him also to death. But look at Moses' heart. Moses' heart is different. Moses is loving them. God said at one time, spare from them, I'm going to destroy them. And Moses said, no, Lord, no, please. Spare, do not destroy them. Look at the heart of Moses. In Old Testament time, you know, Old Testament time, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. In that time, Moses' attitude, you can see Moses' way of behaving with the people. He loved them. He never hated Israelites. People hated him, but he did not hate him. He hated them. And there are many examples when we talk about hatred, like so many things. And we can see in Leviticus 19th chapter, 17th verse, even in the Old Testament time, God, what God said, Leviticus 19, 17th verse. Okay. Even in the Old Testament, it says, thou shalt not hate. The Bible clearly shows. In 1 John, 3rd chapter, 15th verse. That's what we have seen. 1 John, 2nd chapter, 9th verse. 9th verse.
He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now.
The Bible is showing someone who is hating his brother, he is still in darkness. They may think, or we may think that we are in light, but when we hating someone, the Bible is showing something else. We may think we are in light, but Bible shows you are in darkness. And darkness, people who are in darkness are enemy to cross. And that's the reason, brothers, sisters, Bible is showing that we should never hate anyone. If hatred started coming, we need to pray to God. Ask Lord to help us. Because hell is dangerous. Lake of fire is dangerous. It's not a, some people joke about lake of fire. You know, a lady in my church never ever took about lake of fire. She always used to say, what is lake of fire? And one day what has happened? She was boiling water in the house. And she's trying to remove the boiling water pot from the stove and slipped, fell on her whole body. She was hospitalized for many days. Doctor somehow done a great job on her. After some time later, she started coming to church. She got scared. She said, hell is dangerous. Hell is dangerous. You know, when you are thinking like hell in a normal way, you don't understand. But I have known the heat. And I tell everyone, at hell, this is a temporary, I was burned. But at hell, everlasting fire. We need to escape. We need to come. We should not go to that place. God wants us to go to heaven. So when we doesn't obey, we are not going to go to heaven. Because God clearly says that. When God gives the commandment, he is serious. Whether we like it or not, whether we agree or disagree, when God gives a commandment, that's it. There is no option. We have to do it. So, hatred is something which God, as a Christian, we should not have in our heart. Third thing I want to share today is loving your enemies. This is something else. We know we love our neighbors. Golden rule, we know. We love our family, we love our children, we love our wife and husband. But here something else is, love your enemies. Enemies, you know, we will be having many enemies in our life. We might be. You know, a young adult, other young adult came one church early in the morning. One morning, he was so happy, joyful. After church, I asked him, he said, Anna, I'm so happy. I said, what happened? You know, I had an enemy in my college. He fell down from the bike, broke his arm and broke his leg. I'm so happy. You know what the Bible says? Do not rejoice when your enemy is hurt or when your enemy is in that situation. But what many of the Christians does, they'll be looking, if something happens to this enemy, oh, it's great. Brothers, sisters, loving enemy is also an important thing that we need to be careful. Bible shows many examples on it. Let's say about Moses. Sorry, David. Saul chased David so much, but David never reacted. And Saul also, one time God also given an opportunity for David. God gave Saul under David's hand. And people around David said, kill him. God has handed him over to you. And David did not kill Saul. He's an anointed. You know, when Saul died, David was not happy about it. Look at the heart of David. And also one time when Absalom was chasing, Saul was running away from the palace and barefooted. Saul's family started throwing stone at David. And people around David said, give us a command, we will destroy them. But David said, no, let them hit me. In the Old Testament time, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, David was different. Brothers, sisters, we know David have done many mistakes. But still, he showed something different, which God loves. You know, God loves us to love our enemies. That pleases Lord. Forgiving, God pleases Lord. Many things, God pleases Lord. And at the bottom, I want to share one more thing is, let us not walk according to our own imagination. That will destroy us. I want to talk about David. One time he done a biggest mistake. He wanted to bring Ark of God to his place. He went. He took the Ark of God. He put 30,000 soldiers in front of him. 30,000 soldiers marching. Let us imagine 30,000 soldiers marching on a road before us. It will be something different. We will be saying, wow, what a great scene. Then the instrumental music people who are in the back, then he made a new cart out of new wood with a good oxen and bringing the ark such a big way. And he might be thinking, oh, God will be very much pleased with all these things. And people might be thinking also, oh, wonderful thing what David is doing. When it slipped, when the cart slipped, Uzzah touched it, fire came from down and killed him. And David got so angry and also fear came upon him. Then he went back. He left the ark almost 20 years. He left the ark for 20 years. He went back. He started checking what has happened. Why did this happen? You know why did this happen? David was going according to his own mind rather than checking the word of God. Who's supposed to carry the ark of the Lord? Can church tell me, please? Who's supposed to carry the ark? Levites. Thank you, brother. Levites supposed to carry. And how they should carry? They have to put poles and they have to carry on the shoulders. What David has done? He was thinking something else. Oh, okay, I can take it in a cart. Then he went back to the Bible, word of God, sorry, law of Moses. And then he checked and then he called, let us no one touch the ark. Let the Levites touch the ark. We have done a big mistake. Second time he was careful. He went back to law of Moses, read it and done the same thing. In the same way, when we go according to our own minds, we mess up our life. But when we go according to the word of God, then we are a true Christians and a pure Christians. Brothers, sisters, disobedient destroys us. Jonah, you can see as an example, God said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. But he decided to go to Tarshish. And Bible says, he went down to the Tarshish. He went down into the boat. He went down into the water. He was going down and down and down when he was disobeying God. In the same way, as a Christian, as a family, when we disobey God, we are going down and down and down. Finally, we may be thinking that we will be going to heaven. But one day we'll come. We'll say, Lord, Lord. And Lord will say, I don't know who you are. Because death is serious. Anytime we may die. Every day is an opportunity for us. So we have to work hard in forgiveness, forgiving, tender-hearted, not being angry on others, even though they do mistakes. And also, hatred is something we need to remove out of from our heart, from the roots, and loving our enemies. If you think there is an enemy in you, in your life, loving is important. Brothers, sisters, if you don't do these things, if you are not adding obedience to all the other things, then we will be going down and down, and finally, we will not reach to heaven. Thank you very much.